We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Flo here with a word that's just weird. Terry cloth. Who exactly is Terry? And why does he get his own fabric? Did he journey below SPF 50? Fight off some weeds and his daffodils? How about a word for everyone? Flotection. Yeah, I just made it up. But I'm not making up how great it feels when me and Progressive protect your new home. Ever think of that, Terry? No. Terry only thinks of himself.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava, and with me today, we have our co-founder and producer, Mr. Brian Goins.
Mana.
We have a hot take Harry, Mr. Harrison Citron.
Yep, I'm here.
We have our Heat Beat insider, Lefty Leif, but his Skype's not working, so we're endeavoring to find him. And we have our special guest, the puppet himself, Anthony Chang of the Palm Beach Post.
Hello, guys. This is the puppet. This is your puppet right here.
This is your puppet speaking. Welcome to the program, Anthony. This is your third time. This is your three-peat on Heat Beat.
This is your theme song, by the way.
Phenomena. The puppet himself, Anthony Chang.
I love it.
Excellent producer, by me.
There you go, Brian. Good for you. All right, okay, you're one for one.
Yes, sir.
Now joining us is our Lefty Leif, our insider. How are you, sir? You're back. You bike?
I am back. What's up? What's up?
Oh, my God. You sound horrible.
Oh, my God. What happened?
I'm on my phone, unfortunately, trying to get this computer sorted out.
Okay, well, Leif is doing what he can. There's no excuses. He's part of the culture. So we're gonna go on. Oh, my God. We're two shows of awful producing in a row. We are going onward. So last night, the Heat hit 21, was it 21, 22 threes? They
21.
Beat 21 threes. They beat Charlotte on the road in a game that they needed. And what I really want to talk about is, so I think that that's probably one of the best, if not the best, offensive showing of the season, not just because of the shooting, but they were generating good shots against a really well-coached defense. And it brings – I was thinking today, and I was tweeting about it. I don't know if the Heat necessarily is what they miss is Dion Waiters and not just another competent shot creator at that position. You know what I mean? So, like, it's either Gorin or James Johnson that are creating the shots off the dribble and initiating offense up top, because we know that Josh Richardson is not very good at it and Tyler Johnson's not that kind of player. So the guys doing the creating up top on the high pick and roll are James Johnson and Goran Dragic. Anthony, am I wrong, or is it just Dion's that important because of Dion's specific skill set, or am I onto something?
I think you're right. I mean, I think that he definitely missed another playmaker, and that's lacking with Deion not in the court. James is definitely trying to pick up the slack. He's driving more to the basket. He's being more aggressive. He has the ball in his hands more with Deion out. So does Jay Rich, but you know, Jay Rich isn't Deion, obviously. But I think you could only try to make up for what Deion does so much. He's like a Goran Dragic. He's very unique. Him and Goran are ranked in the top six in drives per game. And as far as passing off drives, I think Goran is one in first in the NBA, and Deion is second. Just the way they not only are they aggressive, but the way they can spray out the shooters, that is something that I don't think you could replicate, even with James Johnson. I mean, James Johnson's doing great. Obviously, he played a great game yesterday. But you're missing that with Deion, and you see that with Wayne Ellington and the Luke Babbitt. They're not getting the shots they usually get. I mean, yesterday, obviously, they made a lot of threes, but a lot of those were contested threes. I don't know if you want to bank on that for another game. Those weren't easy shots that he were making yesterday. So I think, you know, it was great that they made those shots yesterday, but it could also be a little bit of a mirage. Those weren't easy shots.
I don't know. I thought, and I haven't looked at the numbers or the tracking numbers, but I thought they were pretty decent looks. I thought the more concerning thing was that was a really close game, and all the Heat were doing was hitting every three they took. To me, that was what stood out more to me, that they're doing this with shooting, and yet they're not up 20. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, they weren't getting – their offense seemed to be further and further away from the basket, which is a little bit, you know, concerning. But, you know, if they're shooting like that, you can't argue against it, I guess. But they're not going to hit 21 threes every game. They were some open looks, but again, if you look at Goran's threes last night, and even James Johnson and Josh Richardson, they were hands in their face, and they were just knocking them down. And like, you know, I know we've said it, everyone said it, but Charlotte plays the type of defense where they give up the three as well, so that played into it too. I mean, they shot 43s, so. That was definitely their game plan, and it worked out for the Heat.
Guys, and Harry, you specifically, Jay Rich, right? So the last couple games, you see, because I know how much you hate him. You hate Heat players that start with Jay. James Johnson. What's his name?
No, Jay James Johnson.
No, Joe Johnson. You hated Joe Johnson. You wanted to banish him last season, and now Josh Richardson.
I was right about Joe Johnson.
Josh, and you don't like McRoberts.
I think that's just a coincidence. I don't think that really has to do with the letter J. But
regardless, what I wanted to ask you was his role, right? Like, so most of this season, they've asked him to be in a role where he ball handles, creates, and like initiates. And I think we can all say that that's been really bad and unsuccessful, and that's not really his skill set. Kind of like Tyler Johnson last season when Tyler was asked to run the offense, it looked really bad. I know Tyler had a shoulder problem, but like, that's not the kind of player he is. Jay Rich last season was a guy who just play off the ball, and they would just use him to play the passing lanes and pick and roll. Lately, he's kind of been finding a rhythm, and I kind of think they've been moving more away from him ball handling and putting more responsibility on JJ. Like, is that something that you like, or?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Or you just giving up on him?
No. I mean, Jay Rich creating offense is not good, so anytime he can just like be a spot up shooter, that's kind of more of the game you want. Or last year when he was healthy, he could drive to the basket. He wasn't terrible getting to the basket, especially with his athleticism. He had a couple really good dunks last year. But you know, I think a big part of yesterday was because they moved JJ into the starting lineup, it gave them another ball handler, and that kind of what you're saying, it took the ball out of Jay Rich's hands a bit more, and that's helpful for the Heat. But Anthony, I don't know if the shots were necessarily like difficult last night, because the Heat tend to make shots when the ball's moving. I mean, that's really what we've seen from this team. Like, when the ball's moving, the ball tends to go into the basket more often than not. It's the times where the ball kind of gets stagnant, and even wide open shots seem to be difficult to convert for this team. But when the ball is really moving, we tend to convert. And against Charlotte, you have to hit threes. Steve Clifford is a guy that packs the paint. I mean, he did it against the Heat last year in the playoffs. You know, if we didn't hit outside shots in game 6 and 7, we would have lost to the Hornets last year. So the ability to hit outside shots is really the only way to beat that Charlotte defense that likes to pack the paint. So Is 21 threes an aberration? Yeah, I mean, that's the most that the Heat have ever had in their franchise history. But, you know, could we make a decent amount of threes if the ball's moving? Yeah, I think that's something that could, you know, we might have found a formula going forward again with a much tougher schedule coming up.
Here's some stats on Josh Richardson since replacing Deion in starting lineup. He's averaging 12.2 points per game, 3.1 assists on 1.3 turnovers. He has 1.2 steals per game, 1.6 blocks. And he's shooting 42% from the field, 39.4% from three, and 75% from the free throw line.
That's not bad. That's pretty, it's helped. It's the last two games have helped, obviously, where he's, 8 of 13 from three.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of helped bring those numbers up. But I think he's actually, like you said, he's played better lately when they've relied on him less to be a ball handler and more of a slasher slash spot up shooter. So maybe they found something there, you know, that he can't be the Deion where Deion would take some of the ball handling duties away from Goran and let Goran play off the ball. That it's just a different dynamic with Josh Richardson. I think they're figuring that out.
Like, he was attacking closeouts really well yesterday, and for him to be successful, that's like what he has to do. Because he's not a gifted ball handler like Deion, but he is really long and athletic, and he's strong. So there were a couple of times that guys would close out really hard, and he just went right into the defense, yeah. Took some contact, got a foul. Like, that's what he has to do to be successful. Play those corners, play that wing, and attack closeouts hard. Not necessarily bring the ball up and wait 10 seconds to initiate offense, because it's driving us all crazy, man. It's insane.
Question, guys. I know he's not as good as this guy yet, but does anything about Josh Richardson remind you of, like, an Eddie Jones type?
I was going to say Chalmers. He has some Chalmers in him. Like, he makes similar mistakes, the fouls, the, like, not really a good ball handler, but pretty athletic. You know what I mean? Like, the shooting. I've always looked at him as a Rio type.
I think we should ask Eddie Leifer.
Leif, what were you saying?
I think he froze on us. But he said Eddie Jones is a Heat Leifer. I mean, Anthony, I definitely understand, like, the Eddie Jones comparison, especially last season when he was making his shots. I think my issue with Richardson this season is like, Spo has so much faith in him, almost to a detriment. And when Spo has faith in someone, he just, like, he'll play them in any situation, regardless of if it's the right move or not. Similar to how he played Joe Johnson down the stretch last year, even though you could argue that Joe Johnson was usually the worst defender on the court when he was out there. So, you know, Spo finds a guy that he really likes, and he just rides him. And the problem with Richardson is he shouldn't be playing 35 minutes a game. I mean, if you got 15 to 20 good minutes out of Jay Rich, I think he could be more efficient in shorter spurts than what they're playing him. And I know they don't have a lot of guys to replace him, but the length that they're playing him, I think, hurts him in his overall. Like, his last few games, he's played better, but, man, he looks exhausted. And I know they're like, oh, he's young, let's ride him as long as he can, but he looks tired when he's playing that many minutes per game.
No, I agree, but the problem is, like you said, there's not many options, and that's something the Heat have done to themselves, because I know we've talked about Chris Bosh a lot, obviously, but that's a roster spot wasted. Udonis Haslem, as much as we all love him, he doesn't play, so now you're down to 13 guys, and then you have Justice Winslow and Josh McRoberts out, that's 11, and then Deion out, you have 10 available guys. It's like, you have to, you know, I agree. I think Josh Richardson is better suited for a 20-minute role, 25 minutes maybe max. But with Deion out, you have to ride him, especially since he's one of your better perimeter defenders.
Well, now Babbitt's out too, so we're down to 9.
And now Babbitt, exactly. So it's tough. Like, they're just trying to survive at this point. And it's honestly, like, you know, I don't know how they've gone through this with so little guys, but I think now you're starting to see it catch up to them a little bit where, okay, you didn't want to use the Bosh roster spot, fine. And, you know, you signed Haslem to that deal, which is fine. You know, he's bringing leadership to the roster, but it kind of puts them behind the eight ball because they have two roster spots that, you know, kind of, you know, you're not really using per se.
Well, that's your point, Harry.
Yeah, Anthony, I kind of got into an argument with the Heat beat guys yesterday that I was saying that when Deion went down and, like, they knew, like, obviously we've reported it 6-8 weeks, so that's going to be right. But, you know, the moment he went down and you knew it was going to be at least 4 games, I don't understand why they didn't apply for a 16th roster spot. And the argument that I was getting back was, well, Carter White barely plays, how would a new guy come in and start playing minutes? But it's just like having that body available is better than not having that person available. Right. Like having 11 guys is better than 10, even if you only play 9, right? I mean, I didn't really understand. Is there a lot of people out there? Not really, but you know, there's certain guys you could have signed just to have another body on nights like, not even health, but foul trouble wise or other things where you need, like if Hassan gets into foul trouble, you go to Willie, and if Willie's not having it that night, what are you supposed to do? So, you know, not having another body seems to be a disadvantage.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I know they like Marcus George's Hunt a lot, the guy they brought up before the All-Star break. You know, obviously, would he come in and contribute right away? No. But like you said, it's another body. You know, it's another defender you can bring in. You know, it's someone you can bring in if there's foul trouble. But they opted against it. I was a little bit surprised. I thought maybe they would do it just because they had the option to do it, and it didn't look like De'Aaron was going to come back in 10 days anyway. So what's the harm in applying for that hardship? But they didn't do it. So at this point, they're just going to have to ride with who they have and hope that De'Aaron comes back somewhat soon.
Anthony, let's be real.
What?
How long do you think De'Aaron's going to be out for?
I wouldn't be surprised if he came back to these last two home games.
You're doing it again, yeah. Anthony. Doing
I'm just going to tell you what I see with my eyes. He's out of the boot. He's limping less. His limp is like non-existent. So, you know, could come back next week or so.
Isn't De'Aaron the kind of guy you don't want to rush back into playing? Like,
Is him coming back, him rushing back? Because you bring up a good point, Harrison.
Rushing back? I mean,
are they rushing him back? Are they hitting a panic button and say, De'Aaron, you need to come back ASAP?
De'Aaron's trying to speed our report.
Leif shaking his head. Leif, why are you shaking your head?
I don't think that they're rushing him back. I think he's just legitimately has a very bad sprained ankle. And the whole thing about not calling somebody up, I mean, there's 5 games left, 6 games, 7 games, even if we want to play like this is a week ago, why didn't they do this? The Babbitt injury came out of nowhere. And I think at this point, you know, if you're going to play 10 guys, I know people don't want to hear it, but Spoelstra's going to trust Udonis to play 27 minutes on a random Tuesday at the end of the year than bringing up a developmental guy that maybe they don't want to let everyone know that he's the next guy in line. So you don't want to bring him up on a 10-day contract, or there's not a guy out there that can acclimate to the system fast enough to do anything different than what Udonis would give you in limited minutes. So and they haven't even had to get to that point. Udonis is not even getting in the game. So they have, I don't know, I think that it's a little overstated that they're lacking bodies as long as nobody else goes down and they play everybody available.
You're telling me Jarnell Stokes isn't better?
I don't know, man. It seems like we're playing Russian roulette because De'Aaron went down on St. Patrick's Day, so that was with about a month left in the season. So we're not talking about 5 games. And we knew the sprain was bad because he told us it was bad. And if you don't want to bring up a D-leaguer because you don't want to show your hand, that's fine. I mean, there were other guys out there. We had talked about Terrence Jones a lot, who got waived again. I don't really know why, but I'd take a flyer on Terrence Jones. I'd take the body of just having Terrence Jones. The body is better than not having someone. So, you know, we could say,
I was just gonna say they didn't fill the De'Aaron roster spot because they don't want me to be right.
Well, there is something weird going on.
I'm joking.
Injuries are tough to predict, man. I mean, it could have been. I mean, I'm sure they were. When that first happened, I heard 4 to 6 weeks that it was pretty bad. But you know, everyone heals differently. De'Aaron is young, but he's had ankle injuries in the past, so you know it was tough to say how he was going to recuperate from this, but. The fact that he's out of the boot already and, you know, is encouraging. I know the Heat are a little bit of encouraged, the fact that he's not limping as much and he's able to do some conditioning. A lot of the writers actually thought that he might travel on this trip. I think some of us were surprised that they left him back. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't think they're rushing him back, but I think they want him back as soon as possible, especially at this time of the year. If this was, you know, December, then things would be different. But with the playoffs right around the corner, I'm sure they want him back as soon as possible.
Anthony, you don't have to tell us that we're right. What, can you explain to us why the Heat keep lying about Josh McRoberts? He's never going to play again. I don't understand why they don't just come out and just bury his career, because that guy, you know, he gets hurt. He gets hurt getting milk and cookies in the middle of the night. He gets I don't know if he has children, but if he does, he would get injured. He would hurt his neck tucking his kid into bed.
He's very single. He's a bachelor. Don't you see him with, like, for some reason, he's boys are like, he's really boys with Dwayne and Bosch, and, like, they go to stuff together.
Yeah, because if he had a child, he would die. Like, he would trip and fall with his child, and he would be dead, because he is the clumsiest human being on earth. I've never seen anyone as injury prone. Maybe Derrick Rose.
I was going to say Derrick Rose.
Mike Miller. Derek Rose's injuries are karma related.
Mike Miller's good. Mike Miller's good. Leif, is there anybody else in Heat history that has had more injury problems?
Wow, man, that's tough. Put me on the spot there.
I know. His situation is just so. I've never seen anything like it.
It's tough to point to somebody that has literally, like, that was signed to be a contributing piece at a mid-level price and, like, literally never even got off the ground. I mean, Terry Mills was a disappointment back in the 90s, but he played the games. He just sucked when he played. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. I mean,
maybe Mike Bibby.
Spo is the guy who wanted McRoberts. He was the one who really pounded the table to have him, and thought he would be such a great fit with the, you know, obviously with the Big Three group, but just a skill set in general, and he never got a chance to maximize it.
McRoberts has played 17 games, 42 games, and 22 games. That's been his Heat career.
Bosch has played more games than McRoberts over the last 3 years.
Jesus. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, yeah. I where did these 22 games come from this year? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was another season.
Anthony,
it was when the Heat were like 11, and, you know, it was when the Heat were losing a lot, obviously. He was starting a bunch of games in the beginning of the year before he got hurt.
Before he went out,
he started a bunch of games.
Harrison wasn't watching at that time.
Neither was Sedano. What? You're so mean, Harry. You just pick on people.
My name is Hot Take Harry. What am I supposed to, like, be nice?
It's his brand.
Yes. No. What'd you say, Brian?
It's his brand.
Yeah, he's on brand.
I've molded into this person or character or whatever.
Anthony, do you like the brand that we gave you, the puppet? How do you feel about that?
I like it.
All about that? Yeah.
Cool. You can be honest, man. You can be honest.
Understand how we experience this. So, you know, we put our neck out and we do proper journalism and we put out a story. And then, like, not 5 minutes later, you and Manny come out guns blazing and everyone's Manny, making fun of us.
I was the next day. Manny was like an hour after.
Dude, no, not an hour, like 10 minutes, dude. Like,
we got Mike Scriba calling us fake news and stuff.
Yeah, we were gonna call fake news because Manny. Listen, Jason Leisure, Anthony would have faked the Deion injury. He would have written a story that said, "And his arm is broken too."
We are fake news.
That's what Jason Leisure would have done.
I got your back. I wasn't trying to refute you guys.
Anthony, speaking of fake news, there's no way you believe the story that they were telling today with right? You know, I believe that.
What story?
I mean, it's impossible to know if that's true or not. Obviously, I don't even know if the Heat might say, "Oh, we don't believe that," but I don't think they know if it's true or not either. They don't know what Dwayne was told or if he wasn't told.
What happened? Because I've been out of the loop, and for the audience as well, that might not know.
Basically, Anthony.
Go. Let Anthony explain the story.
Anthony's a guest.
I know.
Well, Brian Windhorst was promoting his new book on the Zach Lowe podcast, and he was talking about a section in the book detailing the plane ride from Vegas to Miami that carries LeBron and Dwayne back to Miami. It was like the morning before LeBron announced that he was leaving to Cleveland. And Windhorst basically reported that in the book that LeBron and his people didn't want to tell Dwayne that he was leaving to Cleveland. So he didn't tell Dwayne on the plane. Dwayne did not know because he didn't want Dwayne to be carrying that secret. Because he knew that he would kind of be morally obligated to tell the Heat and kind of put Dwayne in a tough spot. So that was his reasoning for not telling Dwayne Wade. Some people say, you know, that's they're just protecting Dwayne, or there was an alternative motive for them not to tell Dwayne. I don't know, but that's basically what Windhorst reported. And an interesting detail is that apparently the first draft of the Lee Jenkins story was emailed in to LeBron and his people while they were on the plane with Dwayne, and LeBron and his people were editing the first draft of the story with Dwayne on the plane, and Dwayne not knowing about it.
This sounds like Brian Windhorst is another puppet. But the Mav Carter puppet. See, like, you're a puppet for Tim Donovan, and Brian Windhorst is a Maverick Carter puppet.
The Pillars of Evil.
Yes, the Pillars of Evil. Thank you, Anthony. I know you have to go. Thank you for coming on the program today.
I wish I could have been on longer. Thank you.
Feel better, man. Listen, you're a warrior, man. You embody heat culture, dude. Warrior.
Here you, Donis,
you got the guts. You got the guts.
It's this flu game.
It's all about the culture.
All about the culture, man. All right, take care, bud. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. You too. Have a good night.
You too. But yeah, so that was the puppet, Mr. Anthony Chang. And now we learn that Brian Windhorst is another puppet.
Of the worst variety.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that story at all.
It's total bull bleep.
Write that down, Brian. Write that down.
27.
Oh, you can't say that? That's a bad word? Sorry. I'm usually pretty good about that. My apologies.
Yeah, we've all been good lately, except for who cursed the other day? Was it you, Harry?
Yeah.
That was bad. I cursed a couple times.
Yeah, sorry, we're good. That seems something that Dan Le Batard always says that really sticks to me is when a new story comes out, you have to say, well, who benefits from this? And then that's where you can find the leak. The person that this benefits is Dwayne. And LeBron's people would leak a story to help Dwayne. To make him look good.
But it also makes LeBron look good, too.
Right. Does it make LeBron look good? Why? Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
he was looking out for his friend. I mean, that was a really sincere way to go about his business, not to put that on Dwayne Wade's conscience. That's awesome. What a great guy.
Two birds with one stone, man. The king. The unselfish king.
Yeah, it's also
he couldn't hold the Windhorst, secret. That's what he said.
I mean, I know Windhorst has probably sat on things and never found them again. But what he sat on the story for 2 years and didn't think he waited 2 years to put it in a book. Like, I mean, I know he probably loses the remote all the time because he sits on it or something like that.
Jesus Christ!
But I mean, I don't understand. Like the story, I heard the story, and I know Anthony's just reporting the news, and Anthony's very good at his job. But I just didn't believe the story for a second, and. Yeah, it just sounds like, I don't know, they're trying to make Wade sound good. Or they're trying, listen, there's very likely Wade's going to opt into the contract next year. The Bulls don't want any part of Wade. They're probably going to release him. And he's going to go to Cleveland and they can be buddy-buddy again. So,
do you think they want him back? Like, Dwayne just said, I'm coming back from injury. Do you think that, I don't know about in the locker room, but maybe in the front office, do you think they want him back? Like, they're excited that he's coming back on Saturday?
No, I don't really. I think if they had a choice, they would have. I mean, when the elbow injury first happened, it looked bad, and they'd kind of made like, okay, he's out for the regular season.
But it was a fracture. What happened?
Well, fractures can be. I mean, a fracture could be like. I realize I'm making a sign on a podcast.
Harrison's holding his thumb and index finger really close together.
Yeah.
I think the smallest violin in the world.
Yeah, so, I mean, it definitely sounded like he was out for at least the regular season, and for him to come back a few games early, I mean, is it time for my hot take, or what are we doing here?
It's segue.
And now it's time for a new segment we like to call Hot Take Harry. Hot Take Harry. Harrison Citrin has been waiting all week long to fire up some of his latest spit-firing takes. Takes so strident and cocksure.
Still no idea what that
means. Don't care if they are both ridiculous and wrong. Because you love it. It's going to be lit.
All right, guys. These are facts. Okay. Dwayne Wade gets hurt, fractures his elbow. Decides to go down to Miami, train, which is something that his boy LeBron has done a lot, and then miraculously is going to come back before the season ends. Yeah, this only means one thing. It means that Wade went to LeBron's doctor and got a little bit of that HGH, and he's ready to come back now. It's the only explanation, especially at Wade's age. What is he, 35 now? He's an old man in basketball years. And yeah, he came down to Miami, got that juice, and he's ready to go. So if he comes back and he's playing really, really well, we all know why. We broke some more news on the Heat Beat podcast, and we can stop denying that these things are happening. Like, you know, LeBron misses 2 weeks, he can't walk, and then he gets HGH, he comes back, he's great. I mean, this continues to happen. So we need to stop ignoring the facts, and we just need to accept that these guys are cheaters, and they will continue to cheat to try to get ahead. And I hope I hope he comes back and derails the Bulls season. That would be amazing, because it really looks like they're on their way into the postseason. So I'm hoping he comes back and just the Nets kick their butt a couple times. But yeah, he's on that juice, and let's hope it backfires.
You can call him fat. Call him fat.
Well, I see. Wade is bigger than he was in Miami. I don't know if he's necessarily those uniforms do not do anyone justice, though. Like,
call him fat, Harrison. Stop beating around the bush. Do what fans want.
Wade is a ginormous fat ass.
Yeah, Brian, we need, okay, this is your homework assignment for the next show. You need to find a sound to play when Harry finishes the hot take, Harry, and it's good. You need a good sound and a bad sound, because that was amazing. Harrison just set fire. You need like a sound of a flamethrower, of something like that signifies the hot takeness that he just projected and projectiled on society. And then you need like a lame one.
Projectiled, okay. So like poop.
Projectiled on society. Well, not poop. Okay. But find a poop sound too when he gives like a poopy take.
Okay. It's like a blueberry sound.
Yeah. Something like that. Okay. Wow, Harry. You took out not just Wade, LeBron, but also Miami doctors.
the practice in general.
I mean, like no one was safe.
Yeah, I mean you really have to. I should have told everyone to take cover.
What did
And Dwayne is miserable. Don't forget about that.
Cold.
Well, his penis situation is good, so that's good.
Of course, yeah. That was very funny when I think somebody tweeted at Gabby Union about her penis situation, and she clarified that her penis situation was fine. I feel like we're gonna have to name the podcast "The Penis Situation."
What? What happened?
Well, honestly, I'm glad you clarified that, because I'm just like coming out saying someone has a nice penis situation kind of implies that like
I have to save you there, man. Like,
I appreciate being report. Like, this was a tweet. This wasn't just this wasn't firsthand information.
Can we get Anthony back to ask him if he knows anything about penis? You know, that's reporting, man.
Probably does. Wait, no, he wasn't working with the Heat last year.
Coach knows.
I'm sure Leif knows.
No, I don't know.
Insider, dog. Inside.
I don't want to know. No. Not that kind of inside.
That should be the name of the podcast.
Not that inside. Question mark. Oh my goodness. But getting back on track. We've talked a lot about Deion's value on this show. Ad nauseum, almost. And last show, Alf said he wouldn't pay over, what it was, $12 million or $10 million or something like that. The 10 to 12 range, Alf's like, I'm not paying him a dime over that. And I think a lot of us are really confused as to what he'll make. But I honestly think we have a recent apples-to-apples comparison, right? So if we look at the Linsanity years, right, like it's very similar. Not completely, but a guy is just lightning in a bottle. Right? Like, Deion's never played this good, and the numbers are hard to ignore, right? Maybe I kind of see Deion taking a similar, maybe, career path as Lin, maybe a little better, because he's a little more athletic than him, and the shooting's a little better. But you know what I mean? Like, maybe if we look at Lin's price tag at following that year, that might be an indicator of what Deion might make. You know what I mean?
Well, what did Lynn get? What percentage of the salary cap?
That's what I'm actually been trying to research that while I've been talking.
Oh, man. I don't know. The whole thing with Deion is that's going to be cost conscious. Well, I got put on the spot earlier about the injured Heat player. I mean, like, that's the most random thing to think of. But I don't think Deion is like you bring him back at any cost. I think James Johnson, they would overpay to keep. But I feel pretty strongly that he's actually going to take below what he could get elsewhere to stay. Like real confident about that actually. And but Deion is a whole nother ballgame. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be that you just pay him on long-term money, you know, 13, 14, 15 million. You know, if he wants to take a short-term deal, why not? But that's kind of how I see them approaching both of those guys.
So Jeremy's making 11 million this year. So if we look at the percentage of the cap, that's probably going to be around 14 to 15. This is the second contract since Linsanity. So
okay, but the Linsanity contract was 3 years, $25.1 million.
Thank you, Harry. Man, look, you're a badass, dude.
And backloaded, right? Like the last year was.
Yeah, they signed Lin and Asik to those weird deals, and then like there was a poison pill, so there wasn't a lot of money at the beginning, but it was similar to TJ's contract now. But the problem with Lin is this: the Linsanity thing was like it was weeks, it wasn't years. I mean, he played good for weeks until Chalmers and Cole decided to end Linsanity. So here's what's interesting about Deion. Obviously, money could easily get push the Heat out of wanting to re-sign him. I think it's all about the years. You know, if the Heat strike out on other guys that they're looking to get, and they come back and Deion's sitting there with not a lot of great offers, and they want to give him a big money deal for 1 year to fill the cap, I mean, who cares? The Heat always want flexibility. They're always going to want to have space in 2018 because it's another good free agent. Listen, regardless of who's available or who they think they can actually get, the Heat are always going to want space available, especially with the new CBA, especially with guys maybe not, you know, maybe being not as content with their situations. You know, for example, if Utah and the Clippers end up facing off in the first round, the loser of that might be ready to leave, Hayward or Griffin, for example. So, you know, if they want to give Deion 1 year, $15 million, I mean, who cares if that's all that's out there? But if that prohibits you from getting someone else, then
Deion's going to get years. Deion's going to be looking for.
Well, I don't know. Usually, listen, if he had played the entire season the way that he'd played during the streak, and obviously the Heat are much better with Deion on the court this year, record-wise, then yeah, I mean, he would have gotten years because he's a 25-year-old guy in his prime playing the best ball of his life. He would have gotten years. He's going to end up playing, what, just under 50 games? Because he's not coming back. I don't care what Chang says. I don't care what anyone else says. Deion is not coming back in the regular season. And if he is, he's going to be terrible, and they would have rushed him back. And again, I'm just stating facts. So
just the facts.
I don't think he's going to – I think Deion's a guy who could get another 1-1. And if that's what he want to do, I'm fine with it. I don't want to pay
There's
him
no
a lot of money.
There's no way, Harry, he takes
Why?
Another 1.
Why not? What if it's at a high year, like that first year is going to be up around $15-16 million, just because the Heat want to retain flexibility and run, like, just run this team back with, you know, slight upgrades. You don't think he would take that like versus another team that offers him 11 or 12 over 4 years?
Let's look.
I think he might bet on himself, man. Considering the way he played.
Let's look at his career.
His Heat career, the culture,
Made he's made a couple stops, right? He's been in Cleveland, Oklahoma City, now Miami. He's probably going to want some stability, right? He's still young. He's going to want some stability, and he's going to want money. So I think with the guarantee, if he gets something like three years is probably, right, safe bet of what is probably going to be the market for him. I think he's going to want those years. And even if they give him, let's say they even give him 17, a 1-1 for seven, just throwing out a high number. I still think he'd rather take 3 years at 12 or 13 or something. You know what I mean? Like,
that's where you go to Deion and you say, look, if you take 4 years from Brooklyn, you're never getting another contract again. If you take 1 year with us, you might get a max deal.
I'm not really sure.
What is your decision to be?
I might want to even dispute that Miami might want to get him on a one-on-one deal, because you might, you know, if you can lock him up, I guess it depends on how much they believe in deal. No, I guess, yeah, one-on-one would be fine, but I don't really think they're going to contend next year, Leif, and I think you'd agree. I think this offseason, it's going to be not necessarily the whale year, but it might be the prelude to the whale, right? So you might want to get a guy that'll contribute, like a good rotation player, maybe a starter and a bench guy. You lose Willie, you replace him, get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to start accumulating, like, an actual team, because this team was good this year, right? So they're gonna get the second half of the year, this was a good team. They're going to try to accumulate some players. I don't think they're going to get Hayward, and I don't think they're going to get a Clipper. So, you know what I mean?
Well, we've said it before that this is kind of like the Lamar Odom offseason, like if you had to project it out, you know what I mean? Like you get a key cog type piece. I mean, first, obviously, you go and you try to sign Elton Brand the way they did at that time. And when that kind of thing doesn't work out, or, you know, if it does, then great, then you've fast-tracked this deal. But otherwise, you add another piece, probably draft another, because, you know, you see how vacant the power forward spot is. Willie Reed's probably going to walk. So if you keep that mid-round pick, maybe you add your front court depth there and run it back for another year.
But I think, Leif, that one of the biggest differences between this C team and previous incarnations, right, of like kind of in a rebuilding phase, is that usually they have young guys locked up. They're like the key guys on this team, Dion, James Johnson, they don't have them locked up. They have Goran, Justice, Jay Rich, but the guys, and I think the three biggest impact players this year, I guess four, because we have to count Hassan, two of them are not locked up, right? And that kind of changes the math on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think what we're not really, like, Leif has mentioned it, but we haven't really discussed it, is like, when you're talking about NBA economics, guys on the Heat are worth more than when they're not on the Heat. Like, Dion on the Heat is worth more here than he would be elsewhere. That was what Leif was saying, when if you go to the Nets rather than you go to the Heat. So not necessarily do you have to pay him more because he's worth more, but you can use what you have in Miami to get people to stay for less. So you could say, Dion, yeah, listen, you have a few offers from like the Knicks and Brooklyn and all these teams that have never been good. Or you can stay here and work on your game and try and do your best to stay healthy and really become the best player you could possibly be. And this is what we're offering, because we want to maintain the best possible team around you. So, you know, when you're selling them that way, I mean, listen, he's either going to say, like, I'm down because this is the best I've ever played, regardless of the games that I missed. I mean, I felt the best. I was the best. People were actually realizing that I can play basketball. Or, hey, I don't know if these injuries are going to keep happening. You know, you got to be lucky. I'm going to take the money while I can. And a lot of people do that. But the thing is, like, I don't think Dion will be an interesting case, but I think JJ will take less to stay here. I just think he really buys in to what the Heat are trying to do. All-star break, usually guys go on vacation or do stuff with their family. I mean, JJ's quote was that he's staying in the gym and, you know, his wife knows what's going on. So, you know, she wasn't upset that he wasn't, you know, he was just at the gym working on his game. So, you know, we've really found someone who has bought into this Heat style, and we get made fun of because of the culture talk, but it's a real thing, regardless if you want to believe it or not. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think the Heat will have an offer for Dion. It won't be the highest offer. It won't be the most amount of years, and he'll have to decide if he's willing to take that risk. It's very similar to where when we were dealing
Harry,
with Wade, where
well, Harry, yes, you have been rambling spectacularly.
Sorry,
I agreed with almost all of it, though.
I did too. But it was bite-sized chunks. It's like a potato chip. You don't eat the whole potato chip fried. You don't eat the whole potato fried. You eat the chips, right? You want bite-sized pieces of information. You're trying to shove the whole potato in the listener's mouth. And you're like, here, it's delicious. But the listener wants to consume bite-sized pieces of potato chip.
Eat it.
Yeah, that's a really weird analogy, man.
Yeah, I also, well, one I was going to say, I thought you were going to say you don't eat the whole bag. And I'm like, I usually eat the whole bag. Also, and second of all, just cut me off because I thought you guys were agreeing with me and letting me go.
I do agree with you.
That's what I was doing.
I just wanted, you know, how people listen, I think, you know, there might be a little tune out going, and I just want your points to come across.
Eat it.
Because they're good. They're good points.
Okay, yeah. So to recap continue. Very quickly, to recap.
No, we don't need a recap. We don't need a recap. We know what happened. Just continue. Just go. Avanti.
Eat it.
We don't want people doing just the potato.
Okay, yes, exactly. You don't want the whole potato in your mouth. You just want the chips. You're right, little slivers.
Yeah, Dion's worth more here, so he'll probably take less unless deals to stay. If he doesn't, whatever. JJ's going to take less to stay. Heat culture is real. That's what I blabbed on about.
If Dion leaves, we're just gonna mold another Dion. So that's how that's going to play out.
And Alf are so confident in that, and I just don't know if a defender who can shoot threes and ball handle is just something that, right?
Like, Johnny, put the potato in your mouth. Stop it. I'm joking.
No, if you were to tell me they can make another Jay Rich, I'll believe it because they kind of did. They made Magruder, right? Like they've just made Magruder Jay Rich essentially. Which, by the way, who do you want to keep if you had a choice
between whom?
Jay Rich and Magruder.
Oh. Rod.
Hold on, wait. But we're saying Rod now. But do you remember what Jay Rich was the second half of last year? Because he's basically doing what Josh Richardson did the second half of last year. Josh Richardson already did what Magruder's doing.
My reasoning probably isn't the same as I'm thinking of it as Josh Richardson is a trade chip. So I'd rather keep because I feel like you can work with what Magruder's skill set brings, and you can flip Josh for something else. So if you're telling me I got to choose one or the other, that's why I'm going Magruder.
The
13, by the way, on Milwaukee.
Yeah, everything the Heat needed tonight is going poorly. Chicago's beating Philly, Indy's beating Milwaukee, and even Atlanta's beating Boston at the moment. So
and Washington's beating the Knicks. I think they wanted the Knicks to win that game, so it locks Washington.
But I was going to say the problem with Magruder or Richardson argument is they signed them to very similar deals just a year apart. So when Richardson's going to be going in for his restricted free agency payday in 2018, Magruder's going to be on the last year of a very, very small contract. So, you know, if that's what you're weighing, then it would obviously be Magruder. The Heat have another year to decide if Richardson's in their future or not. But if not, you need to trade him, whether it's a trade at the deadline or it's a trade before he signs an offer sheet. You need to be getting value for guys if they go through your system and you decide to let them go. I think that's a big reason why they signed TJ. They wanted to keep the value, and if they want to trade him, they can. If they want to keep him, which I know would ruin your life, then they will.
Move up in the draft.
I've gone to the point with Tyler that his face just bothers me. Like, I used to like him as a player, and I just don't like him. Like, now, that stupid haircut and his dumb tooth, like, Tyler, dude, groom yourself, man. Come on. Come on, Tyler. What's going on?
You're more mad that Brass Chaz went in and got the clip that he doesn't really like anime. It's not his thing.
That jerk, dude. Tyler doesn't know what he's missing, okay?
He's going to open hand slap you when he meets you, man. It's gonna
Tyler?
Be ugly.
I'd beat Tyler in a fight. I'm bigger than Tyler.
Hey, man.
I weigh more than
Tyler. Hey. Your question. Do you like anime?
Huh?
Do you like anime?
Nah, that ain't my thing, man.
That's what I thought.
Not his thing.
That's what I thought should be a t-shirt.
That should be. That's the best part. Brian, we need to cut up that sound and just use it. That's what I thought. Like, that needs to be a show thing. Oh, my God. I mean, his face. Oh, do you guys want to play a game? Do you guys want to play Lifer or not a Heat Lifer?
I'm afraid to talk anymore, honestly.
Why?
Because you cut me off and wanted to put a potato in my mouth.
You were just rambling, and then, you know, I had to give you the potato metaphor.
That must be, like, a cultural thing. We've never been like, shut up, potato. Like, it's not...
I don't know. I was just trying to think of an analogy, and that's what I came up with. I had to do it on the fly. I'm also watching a women's soccer game, so, like, and I'm score-watching a women's soccer game and doing this podcast.
Well, you should flat my correct rambles, so...
So, do you want to play Lifer, not a Heat Lifer?
Yeah, if it's better than last time.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Brian, give us my song. Give me my...
And now it's time for Heat Lifer or Not a Heat Lifer, featuring Giancarlo Navas.
All right. First one. Brian, lower that a little bit. Jesus Christ. I'm like miming Brian to lower the music. I'm pointing my finger down. I mean, you keep the other.
I thought you were pointing somewhere else.
Chris Bosh. Heat Lifer or Not a Heat Lifer? Lake, what do you think?
Oh, I'm going to pass that to Harrison.
No, you can't pass it to Harrison. Answer the damn question.
Heat lifer.
Ooh. I think he is a heat lifer, but you know what's going to be really interesting? Bosch is going to get into the Hall of Fame, and I wonder if he wants to go in as a heat now or not.
Is that a thing in the Basketball Hall of Fame? Do you go in as a player?
Do you pick or do they pick? I don't know. In baseball, you could pick.
Baseball, you wear the hat. What does your bus have?
Okay, did I totally make something up?
Excellent job by us. All right, then.
ESPN, you use a graphic to decide which logo to use on it, so okay, I guess maybe that counts.
Something. Harold Miner. Heat lifer or not a heat lifer? Leif, you go.
Not a heat lifer.
Yeah, I don't Harrison? Think he was here long enough. No.
He disappointed me, man. I thought we had the next superstar.
But like,
now he's washing cars. Oh, wait, he may own car washes, but it sounds better if he washes cars.
The slander of washing cars.
Does he own them too? Because you know, Jamal Mashburn has made a ton of money off owning like car washes and restaurants and all that stuff.
That's another guy who's not a heat lifer.
No, yeah, of course not. No, of course.
But you guys know that, right? Jamal Mashburn's making a ton. He owns like 70 businesses in Kentucky. He's very, very wealthy.
Really?
Yeah. Very good businessman.
Yeah. Probably going to pass off his money to Clarence Weatherspoon.
All right, then. DJ Irie. Heat life or not a heat life? Harry, you can
go first. Yeah, it says Lost Pod.
I did not see DJ Irie. I asked Uptown Dale.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think they're the same person.
They all look the same, Brian.
Irie's not my favorite, but I think he's probably a heat lifer. He's been there for a long time. He's everywhere. I saw him on the commercial recently. I forgot what he was doing, though.
I think he is. Leif?
No, he's not. Well, no, he is. Excuse me. I was thinking Uptown Dale.
No. You don't think Uptown Dale's a heat lifer, but you think DJ Irie is.
Correct.
Damn. Oof. That shade.
Is Crazy Andy a heat lifer?
What?
Crazy Andy?
No, God, no. No way. No.
I don't know.
Who's Crazy Andy?
Yeah, Leif, do you even know who Crazy Andy is?
He works in the store, right? He's like the store man. He's like the store manager.
I mean, he looks crazy, and he's getting old. I mean, he's really getting up there in age.
This is my game, not your game, Brian.
I'm sorry.
Okay, two more. Stan Van Gundy. Heat lifer or not a heat lifer? Leif, you go first.
I love Stan, so I'm saying heat lifer.
Yes! I agree. Harry?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. The way he left stunk, and I know they stick to their story that he had to be with his family, but I like Stan. Stan was always a good coach. I feel bad he's doing so poorly in Detroit, but listen, don't be a GM and a coach. There's very, very few guys that can do it, so...
He's going to get fired, isn't he?
Not yet. He's probably got a season or two left, but he's got to get rid of the Reggie Jackson contract, and he got to figure out what to do with Drummond, so they have a lot of questions to answer. They definitely were expecting the playoffs, so they can't win on the road.
Okay. Last one. Antoine Walker. Heat lifer, not a heat lifer. Late, what do you think?
Heat lifer.
I go heat lifer too. Harry?
I wanted to say no, but I always remember that amazing quarter in game six of the finals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Off the strength of the shimmy, he's a heat lifer.
That was the best quarter of Antoine Walker's life, man. He was incredible. Incredible. The shimmy was perfect. It was the cherry on top.
Did you guys see when I was fighting with this Boston sports fan the other day? Like, because he was trying to, like, discredit Dwayne's career because Dwayne didn't make it out of the first round of the playoffs for, like, 2 years. And he was trying to say, oh, Paul Pierce has great accomplishments that he got out. You know, he made Eastern Conference Finals when the East was bad and he was losing to Kerry Kittles. You know what I mean? Like, and his best player was fat Antoine Walker.
And Walter McCartney, or whatever his name was.
You want to do, it's like a lame kind of fun game. I mean, I think it's fun, but it's probably lame for most people. Look at a box score from like 2002 and see how many threes were being taken, because it's like eight. Like, you look at three point attempts, it's like eight threes, and that was like a, woof, we took a lot of threes tonight. You know what I mean? Like, the game, woof.
I was watching Shaq Zoe highlights on YouTube a couple weeks back, and they had P.J. Brown, Ike Austin, and Zoe in at the same time. If you want to talk about no three-point shots being taken. Jesus.
How did people used to play back then like that? That's like, the paint's so congested.
You would just, you throw it into the big man, and the key to the game, the reason why those was having a big man that could pass. So having like a Shaq or a Vlade Divac was huge, because you could get it into the post, and from there they could, you know, they could kick back out, or they can pass it to a guy that was cutting. That was kind of the game. Big man that came. Now, you know, if Hassan makes one assist, we get so excited.
I'm glad you brought up Hassan, because, God, I'm sorry. I keep looking at the Milwaukee score, and Milwaukee's down 16 with 6 minutes to go. It's not happening. But Milwaukee didn't lose for like a whole month when Miami was trying to catch them, and now they decide, you know what? We're going to lose against Indiana.
But is Lance balling?
I don't care, man. We're a bunch of losers. That's a loser franchise. Milwaukee, you're a bunch of losers. How about you beat the Pacers, okay? You just have to beat the damn Pacers. Why are you guys such losers? Like, your franchise is so incompetent that you win a bunch of games, you ruin everyone's life, and then when you have to beat the Pacers, you're losers. Giannis, you're a loser. Middleton, sorry, Nikias, he's a loser. Not you, Bees. Beasley's cool.
Wait, but honestly, since the Pacers signed Lance, they took the Cavs to double overtime, and now they've beat the Bucks.
Bunch of losers. Hey, Brian, could you put the music back on? I need to ask one more Heat Lifer question, please. And Lance even played today? Okay, yeah, Lance has 9 points. So okay.
That's good, okay. Man.
Michael Beasley, Heat Lifer or not a Heat Lifer? Leif, you go.
Absolutely not.
I hate you. Harry?
No, he's not a Heat Lifer.
Yes, he is!
But three stints?
Let me tell you, who has had more stints? Who's gotten signed by the Heat more times? Okay, Brian.
Chris Gatling.
Has he had more stints?
Oh, I remember Chris Gatling. That's, man.
I think he came like three times. I don't know. Mike James probably like four times.
He did what?
Mike James is they signed multiple times, I think.
Did you mean Mike Jones? Is that what you're trying to do?
Mike Jones is a rapper, Harrison.
Yeah, I thought you were doing something.
No, Mike James is a player. What did you think Leif was making a bad who Mike Jones joke?
I thought you were doing that because he said Mike James and you were like, who? And then I thought that's
Brian
what you
said
were.
He did. Okay, Brian made a very funny reference to last podcast. When Leif said he came like three times, and Brian said he did what, which references a joke in last show's podcast, which was very funny, Brian. I appreciate that.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? What's a Milwaukee Bucks player?
Not UBs.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're gonna start telling them that now too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.